Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise podcast. My name is Chris, and on this day, you join me and my best friend, James D. Downey, in the whole wide world as we uncover episode 96 of the podcast. Hello, D. This is why I shouldn't have a laptop open in front of me, D. Just on this day, it's just gleaming at me, and I'm like, what? Nearly 100 episodes in. Nearly 100 episodes in, and we're still not getting the intro down.
We should change it every week.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Fresh.
Thank you for joining me, Dee, on what is the 1st of March 2020.
Yeah.
We are officially into the 3rd March.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung, and it's come in like a lamb, I would say.
Well.
Or is that in like a lion?
It's a storm. Well, it depends. You consider today stormy.
Nice. Today's gorgeous out there.
The last thing we said, it looks quite nice. It started snowing.
It just beat against the window, yeah. So. But the old saying is in like a lion, out like a lamb.
Or vice versa, I suppose.
So I'm hoping that today it stays nice and calm.
I'm hoping the opposite.
It goes out like a... You're thinking ahead of the game. Have you any plans for the end of March?
No, we might do now.
Okay. Yeah, you should definitely plan ahead. This is episode 96 of the podcast, D.
Oh, 24 away from the big 100.
Exactly.
Which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
With this episode, at least, Chris is going to bring us back to 1954. I'm going to trip down memory lane into the past to dig up the case of, and I love this, The Butcher of Plainfield.
Oh, yes.
It just sounds...
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Oh, it sounds good. It sounds like it should have a Netflix special.
I'm surprised it doesn't, you know?
I mean...
It's a pretty big case.
I know some people at Netflix.
I know some guys.
Yeah. I know people who know people who know people at Netflix, so... But before all that, we're going to take a look at the news, including the ever-growing coronavirus pandemic. Epidemic. It's getting a bit out of control at this point. Mm-hmm. Starting to get people concerned, Chris, including myself.
Time. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm starting to pay attention to things now.
Okay.
Also, there's another storm.
Yeah.
So every week, basically, since Christmas, there's been a storm.
Is this Storm George or Storm Jorge?
Jorge. I don't know. J-O-R-G-E.
I thought that it was weird that we didn't go to G for George. Which is weird. We went to J for George. J is a weird way to spell George.
I don't know what's going on with it, Chris. I think they're just looking for weird names at this point.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of... I think it's past at this point.
Yeah.
But...
It's gone. We got the tail end of it, I think. The west coast of Ireland, though, definitely
got hit.
Oh, it got hit bad. It got blocked.
Well, we'll talk a bit more of that in the news. And finally, we're going to have our weekly dose of Nick Cage news.
Oh, I love some cagey news on the podcast.
We keep up with Nick Cage on this podcast. We're not dedicated to Nick Cage, but we are very heavily invested
in
him.
Yeah, we're not affiliated by associated with...
We don't condone any of the things he says or does.
He will be the type of guy, though, I believe, if he found this podcast. He might give us a little shout-out.
He might.
In one of his movies.
We should tweet him afterwards.
Oh, we could,
He's on Twitter.
Yeah, we could. Keeping up with all things Nick Cage.
Yeah.
We love him here. I have a bit of On This Day for you, D.
Perfect.
Bit of On This Day. Let me see. Let's jump back to 1642.
Oh, great year.
Where Georgiana, which is York... in Maine, becomes the first incorporated American city. 1780, Pennsylvania becomes the first U.S. state to abolish slavery.
What year?
1780. For newborns only.
Oh, right.
So any newborns born in 1780.
So you couldn't be born a slave?
No. No.
Well, there you go.
1847, Michigan becomes the first English-speaking jurisdiction to abolish the death penalty, except for treason against the state.
Because that's... Too severe.
Do you know you can still get the fire? You can still be put to death by firing squad if you kill the queen.
Is that right?
Yeah, queen, or I think it could be member of the royal family. It's there. It hasn't been abolished as such.
It's unlikely to happen.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but you can still be put to death. Yeah,
so you keep that in mind.
1869, the U.S. postage stamps showing scenes issued for the first time. These pictorials. Showed a post horse and rider, a locomotive, a shield, an eagle, and a ship, the Adriatic.
The Adriatic.
Yeah.
That sounds like a famous ship, the Adriatic.
I've got a bit about a famous ship here, actually. Okay. But in 1872, Yellowstone becomes the world's first national park. Yellowstone in California, I think.
Yeah.
And in 1954, the U.S. explodes Castle Bravo, which is a 15 megaton hydrogen bomb at Bikini Atoll, which accidentally became the most powerful nuclear device ever detonated by the US.
Really?
Yeah. Did you ever hear...
Is that underwater they did that?
Yeah. Did you ever hear the conspiracy surrounding SpongeBob SquarePants?
Oh, yeah.
Cause that's why yeah, all these things are...
Fucking, alive.
Yeah. It's because of the
nuclear...
Yeah, the fallout from this... bomb.
That's the word.
It took me a while. In 1975, colour television transmission begins in Australia. In music, Pink Floyd released their album, The Dark Side of the Moon, very famous album.
Have you ever listened to that album?
No, I have not. Neither have I. It sold over 45 million copies.
Yeah, it's insanely popular, but I've just never heard it, like, at all.
But this... sorry, in case you want, just before I get onto the ship news, some birthdays.
The ship news.
Glenn Miller, you know the composer Glenn Miller, does some of the music in Fallout 3.
Oh, he sounds familiar, but I don't...
His birthday. Today is Justin Bieber's birthday.
Oh, excellent.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, his birthday today. And Mikhail Gorbachev.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah.
I have been reading up on him a little bit.
Have you?
In the past week. Yes, I'll explain that. Okay. Later in the podcast. Do you know what was interesting as well is yesterday was the 29th of February, so a lot of people were having their... only birthday for 4 years.
My auntie, for one.
There you go.
My auntie Tanya celebrated her 6th birthday.
Oh, very good.
She's actually like 30 something. Yeah. But there you go.
Well, you should be able to work that math out pretty easily, Chris. 6 4s.
Oh, yeah. 24? No. Is that right?
I don't know. I guess. I don't even know.
Yeah. Okay, no, she's obviously older than that. Maybe it wasn't her 6th birthday. Maybe it was like her 8th or 9th birthday. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, would you believe, Dee? On this day, 1854, the SS City of Glasgow leaves Liverpool Harbour with approximately 480 passengers and crew. She was never seen again.
Just never?
Never seen again.
It's like the Malaysian flight of 19 whatever of year
1854.
That was.
1854.
Fuck.
Isn't that crazy?
I suppose in 1854, that kind of makes sense though.
But 480 people never seen again. Leaves Liverpool. Where were they going? I don't
Glasgow.
Know. They leave the Liverpool Harbour, so... Who knows where they were going? They would have had to pass back either under Ireland, surely.
Yeah.
Or down. Maybe they went like down the Mediterranean.
But maybe they got like well into the Atlantic and then they just sunk. Whoa. Icebergs or something like that.
That's scary.
Boats used to petrify me after watching the Titanic.
I mean, like Titanic 2 was on Sky yesterday.
Titanic 2?
Yeah. It's a real thing. And last weekend, some of my family actually watched part of it and it was one of these... how do I even put it? Like everybody gets on board a boat and it starts to sink again, and the underlying message
is happening again.
That's it. Surely they knew this was going to happen again. Heads right. An iceberg. It's the same story. It's Titanic 2. Swear to God.
Titanic 2. Mm-hmm. It's like these films that you just can't believe exist, like Titanic 2 and Passion of the Christ 2.
Yeah.
Like both of those are, well, it's going to be real soon.
Passion of the Christ 2 is going to be a real thing. Yeah. I'm glad it is, though. I mean, they're going to have to change the name, surely.
I mean, no, I
don't
know.
It's not really celebrating the passion much more.
But why is the passion? The passion is his suffering.
The passion was his suffering. So it ended on Good Friday.
Maybe it's like, I don't know. Because I don't really know the religious themes of it all.
Mm.
But like, maybe the passion is talking about the whole journey from...
It would maybe be the passion of the apostles, but that doesn't really make sense. No. Or the disciples, the
they
passion.
They get persecuted, don't they?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, a lot of them put to death.
And maybe it's like Christ as in like not the man, but the...
Christianity?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Maybe. Now we're thinking.
Yeah,
we've got
oh, motifs. Yeah. Yeah.
Overlying, overarching things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
My brain's not functioning montage this morning at all today, D.
Yeah, I know how you feel, actually. Yeah.
Big Tim. That's all the on this day I have time for this week. Before we break into the news, let me say that you can find the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast if you want to watch the podcast. If you want to take us with you on the go, you can find this podcast on any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. Take us with you on the go. You can get in contact with us through any of our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast. Or you can get in contact with us with any questions, queries, or comments through our email address, which is
emptypromisepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
I almost forgot that.
I know, yeah. News?
First of all, I want to give a shout out, Chris.
Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, I'm so glad. I kept that quiet.
Michelle Griffin, if you're listening or watching, hello. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, someone you know this got in contact?
This is Laura's sister.
Oh, fantastic. Got in contact?
She found out that I'm on a podcast, so I'm basically a celebrity.
Well, you are a celebrity. You're the local Belfast celebrity.
Yeah. I'm not in Belfast. I am so insignificant, Chris. It's like, we country boys have no idea.
No,
it's
I know.
Oh, well, but yeah, hopefully you're listening. Otherwise, this is very embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully. But thank you.
That's
if you
awesome.
Are.
Yeah. Thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Tell all your friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need the likes.
Word of mouth. Word of mouth. We have a goal to reach. There's a goal on that board that we got to hit by
the
end of the year.
We were very ambitious.
It's still going to happen, I believe.
I believe, yeah. Have a bit of faith.
We got some new equipment coming. And
we got things in the background. It's
a work in progress. Yeah,
things are playing out.
Cogs are moving.
Don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. Let us worry about us. Mm-hmm. We're in so much trouble.
I know.
News. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I kick it off then, so?
Yeah. You kick it off.
I think the biggest news, Chris, is that we're all going to die from coronavirus.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
In about a week.
We should probably...
At the latest estimates. But it is kind of scary. That's kind of... not scary, but like... I'm definitely more aware of it. I'm paying attention to it.
Same.
I have hand sanitizer in my pocket, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
But it's like... I think it's not... The reality of it is... It's not like a killer. It's not like it's going to come infect you and you're going to die. It's like 2% kill rate, which is still like really, really high.
It's a lot for the vast majority of the population.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you play that
7 billion people.
The globe, yeah. That's a lot of people going to die. But when you think of it as a personal level, if I get coronavirus, I have a 2% chance of dying.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 98% chance of making it.
Yeah.
So you probably feel okay.
Yeah.
But that changes. That all changes, of course, if you're from a country which has like poor or lower like health standards.
Yeah.
You know, that decreases your risk of survival and stuff like that.
Of course, yeah.
So like, I mean, on like a human scale, on a global scale, like it's definitely something to be worried about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's spreading, and it's in, you know, Northern Ireland got its first confirmed case a couple of days ago. Republic of Ireland got its first confirmed case last night.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Republic of Ireland has one too. Wow. Somewhere, all they've said is somewhere in the east of Ireland.
Really
narrows it down.
So I'm assuming Dublin.
Gonna have to say Dublin.
Dublin, yeah. It's the biggest coming in from flights center. And stuff like that. My sister's actually flying home today
from
Aberystwyth in Wales, and she says that she's been there with students and all that have come from Italy. Now, Italy, the north of Italy, was on severe lockdown.
Yeah.
Now these guys were from the south, so
that's it. There was a fella from work who came back from Rome.
Really?
He's working from home for the next 2 weeks.
Wow.
For the next week now.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, people are being cautious, but like. Sensibly cautious.
Yeah,
you know, like there's a reason
for it.
You
have to be, yeah.
But yeah, it's not. It's also not like kind of. It's not like a plague that just sweeps over. Like if someone who has coronavirus is like on a plane, it's not like the entire plane is infected.
No,
like they're saying realistically, maybe 2 to 3 people.
Yeah,
is who would get infected.
Yeah.
People sitting beside them. So like, I mean, yeah, it's not something to kind of make you go and just like. I mean,
batten down the hatches.
Exactly. Like I mean,
stock up on bread.
Bread and milk. Just clear the shelves. Not really at that point.
No.
You know,
and hopefully we'll never get to that point.
That's it, you know. But like, I think the message is just be sensible.
Be sensible, yeah.
If you
wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Use tissues.
Yeah.
You know, don't sneeze and cough into people's faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Or definitely. Try to avoid it to the best of your ability. If you're feeling unwell, don't go into work. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are kind of not joking about it, but. Almost like, you know, I'm a little unwell. Oh, it must be the corona. You know the kind of mentality. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not something to be taken lightly at the minute.
That's it. I mean,
think if you do feel unwell, stay the fuck at home.
That's it. Just be cautious about
it. Exactly.
I mean, most employers are going to be like, that makes total sense. If you told them, I'm not feeling well, they'd say, don't come in.
Yeah.
That's probably the advice you'd get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's pretty interesting. Like, it's all really kicking off. It seemed like for me, anyway, it was like, oh, it grew. It was like, oh, the coronavirus is coming, it's coming. And then it kind of tapered off for a bit. And people were like, oh, well, actually, it seems like it's only happening in China. And then when that outbreak, we'll say, in Italy happened, people really got worried.
Yeah, because like, they knew, hang on, this is spreading to other places.
Italy
other
is
than.
just over the road there.
It's just up top of the road.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And no, then it's like Italy obviously borders a lot of countries, Germany and Switzerland and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so
I know.
They can start spreading now.
Have they got a cure for it yet? No.
I don't think so, no.
No.
It's difficult.
So what the hell, how do they treat it as such?
I think it's just kind of like treat you as if you have the flu.
Oh, right.
You know, okay. Like, you keep you...
isolated, keep you...
Hydrated, all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Up your fluids and stuff like that. Because that's essentially what it is. It's like a bad flu.
Yeah.
Quite a bad flu. If you're like... what's the word? Immunocompromised?
Yeah.
You know, if you have like something... A weak immune system or whatever.
Yeah.
That's particularly bad because... Yeah. It's really going to, you know, affect you.
It's
going
to attack you, yeah. Yeah, of
course. You know, and people have and will die from it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary, like, you know, you think
about
it. It
is, yeah. It's the biggest thing we've seen since, like, what, like, foot and mouth, I'd say?
I don't know. Well, they say SARS.
Was SARS, but we weren't really too, we weren't too affected by SARS, were we?
I don't know.
Did it even hit here? Bird flu, the avian flu?
Swine flu was the last
one.
Swine flu was the last big one.
And the, yeah.
But they say, like, it was way worse than swine flu in terms of numbers. Like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we get relatively untouched by this kind of stuff.
We're quite isolated, though. We are an island.
Yeah.
But because we're quite of, like, basically we're an English-speaking country, we get a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
You know, and that's obviously shown because now there's a case in there's a case in the Southern Republic and there's a case in the North. So, yeah.
It's a big thing, yeah. But, I mean, they haven't started shutting down flights and they haven't started shutting down. So, you know, it's still on a very manageable scale at the minute, I believe.
You think it's going to get better or worse going forward?
Well, I mean, everything gets worse, I think, before it gets better, doesn't it? Like,
well, true.
Is this maybe the height of
the
worseness?
Yeah. Has it peaked?
I pray to God it gets better and people don't get affected by it and they find, obviously, a way to treat it. Apparently, they were six months out, I heard, from coming up with a cure as such, if you like. Yeah. But I mean, how do you cure a flu? You know?
I mean, you don't think you can you know? But like a vaccine, stop you from getting it.
Yeah. It's crazy what scientists are working on nowadays. I know, like, it's insane what they can do.
I have a lot of faith in what they're able to do in those labs.
The US have got their first case of it as well.
Someone died.
Yeah.
Someone died in Washington
State. First fatality, yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
So
it's a big thing, yeah. But yeah, like we said, wash your hands.
Just, I said, you'd be dead on.
We, I work, obviously, I was working on Friday, and I think I got asked by about 60 people on my shift, where's your hand sanitizer?
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any.
He's not.
Oh, it is, like, on Thursday, people just went boogaloo and just bought the whole fucking lot. And hand sanitizer and, you know, like, DIY, like, masks?
Yep.
Nope.
Mask all gone.
We got nothing.
Amazon have removed, or sort of punished, something like 80,000... like items and sellers on Amazon because they're inflating the prices of things like masks, artificial scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like kind of saying 10 items left for these masks when they probably have a couple of hundred.
Mm-hmm.
So they can jack up the prices and people will buy them. All these things that claim to cure or prevent or make you immune to coronavirus, all this stuff. People obviously just capitalizing, making their money off of...
A lot of our stock as well that we have is coming from China. Boxes are boxes are labeled, you know, China. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if you should open that box, you know? Just open it and inhale deeply, see what happens. Yeah, it's like The Simpsons, you know, he opens up the box and the virus breaks out and just fucking like spreads. That's what it reminds me of. But
what's it? I think China is like, obviously, yeah, it's still the absolute worst in China, but see, parts of China have it like pretty much under control now.
Yeah.
Like, and now
so they are coming full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Apple. I think Apple have reopened their Chinese factories or they've like, continued production because they're satisfied that like they have it in control.
Okay, good. Well,
maybe that's a mistake. Maybe they shouldn't. You know, maybe that'll kick off like another bout of this. But hopefully not. Anyway. As the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy said, don't panic.
Don't panic.
Wash your hands.
Yeah. I mean, we have what 96 episodes for you to catch up on.
Yeah.
You know, if you're
told to self-isolate, don't worry about it.
Yeah, we got you covered.
Plenty of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, right. Lots of tips in there about how to not get coronavirus.
So
start at episode one, work your way up.
Yeah.
You'll know all about it.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be a pro with this.
I got a bit of news, CD. No Time to Die, you know, the latest James Bond movie.
Yep.
Sorry about jumping in for No Time to Die after the coronavirus seems pretty pretty morbid. But No Time to Die, the latest James Bond flick. Is the longest Bond movie ever, it seems. No Time to Die will be the longest James Bond film ever, it seems. US cinema chain Regal has unveiled the runtime of the new Bond movie at an eye-watering 163 minutes. So you better go to the bathroom.
2 hours and 40 minutes.
Before you sit down and watch it. That's 2 hours, 43 minutes total, and only 18 minutes shorter than the very long Avengers Endgame.
I don't know. Does a James Bond movie need to be this long?
I don't think so.
You don't think it does?
But it was almost justifiable for Endgame because they had so much to pack in, and it kind of it jumped around a lot, so you never really felt...
They had how many characters are there in that movie?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and you're talking about James Bond, probably one villain, probably a couple of women, and that's it.
Yeah.
The James Bond women, the classic... And then, I don't know, a couple of side characters. Like, there's not going to be much happen. I mean...
I'm excited about this, though.
As am I.
I'm excited.
I think the Daniel Craig Bond movie.
Yeah. It'll be nice to do. There's a couple of movies coming up, D, that I think we should almost do specials on for the podcast. Okay. That being one of them. Because this is the last, quote-unquote, last Craig Bond movie.
Yep. Yep.
So I think we should definitely cash in on that.
You know? Yeah, pretty much. It looks good, though.
Yeah.
It does look good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough watch for 163 minutes.
Yeah.
But
unless they keep it like action packed.
That's it.
Which is hard to do, I think, without making it kind of, you know, because it has to have some kind of story.
I would like to direct you to Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah?
The last like four movies have all been fucking
action packed.
Amazing. So, but yeah, I don't know. James Bond isn't necessarily all about the action, but.
Moving on, quick bit of news just while you make your TD. Did you hear about the Chernobyl producer? You know Chernobyl show?
Yep.
The producer wins the high-end bidding war for hot podcast Tunnel 29. Did you hear about this?
Tunnel 29.
Tunnel 29. So I'm still confused as to how the whole thing works.
the podcast thing, yeah.
But Sister, the UK production house ran by Jane Featherstone, whose recent credits include the HBO and Sky's Emmy winning Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. And BBC Netflix series Giri Haji has won the rights to Helena Merham's busy podcast, Tunnel 29, in what could be stated as a highly competitive situation. So she has won the rights to this podcast. So the podcast, the way the podcast worked was... it was a series chronicling a story.
Oh, okay.
The remarkable true story, which is... I looked into this.
Right.
And this is something we have to do for Fantastic Human Feats. This is unbelievable. Okay. It's the remarkable true story of a group of students who dug a tunnel from West to East Germany underneath the Berlin Wall to help people escape the communist regime.
Amazing.
They've won the rights to this. This producer's won the rights, so we can expect to see maybe production going ahead with... their next series.
They're gonna make
a show out of a podcast that is detailing a story.
So it's weird. They actually have to pay, so they have to get the rights to make the show, even though they're gonna base it on the same story that the podcast did.
Yeah.
So mad.
I know. So many loops to kind of jump through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very short piece of news. There's not much released on it yet, but
Chernobyl. Have you watched Chernobyl?
No. Have you?
We watched it this week. It's part of what I did this week.
Oh, fantastic.
It is...
Do you want to wait and get to it? Or
I will. Okay. I will, but I will say that I'm very excited about that.
Oh, after Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Fuck. Okay, good, good.
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 You got another bit? Or
yep.
Do you want me to go?
Bring us back to disaster, Chris, that short intermission. Another storm battering the country up and down, left and right.
Fucking sick of this storm shit.
Just like, come on. Like, and it's always the weekend. What the fuck is that about? Pardon my French.
Yeah, it's coming in. It's like next weekend. Expect to see a storm. What's JK? Storm Kieran.
Yeah.
Region.
What is this? What are these storms doing during the week?
I know. Building.
I don't understand. How is it so regular on the weekend? But
I know.
It's Storm George with a J because
I think
why
it's
not?
Jorge. I'm calling it Jorge.
Jorge. It should be Jorge, shouldn't it?
Because
Jorge Garcia.
If it was J, if it was George, it would have been G.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's a storm. Mm-hmm. I have written down here. I don't know what I was trying to write, but what does that look like to you? That word right there. Yeah, I don't know what
big
it is.
Big
C bomb.
Wow.
Something George.
Can't?
Nope. We'll see you next Tuesday, George. Okay. I don't know what I was trying to write. Yeah. Could you believe the amount of flooding happening in England?
Unbelievable.
I just don't understand.
England gets flooding real bad.
I don't. Yeah.
Like at least once a year, they're hit with like heavy flooding.
Like, and it's mad. Like, it's up to like the waist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's destroying homes.
It's crazy.
Like, don't they put like. Yeah, like you said, like last week, it was a beautiful day, and here's the storm.
I told you, Chris. Don't George's not away
but
yet.
But don't they put like things like things in place for this?
Yeah, they have like flood prevention stuff, but like they, this just up over, you know, it's just too much. It's too much capacity and it goes up over those, up the over the emergency defences and everything.
That's unbelievable.
It's absolutely crazy. But yeah.
I always feel sorry for
Wales
it.
As well gets particularly hard.
Oh yeah, battered, yeah. My sister says, although my sister says she's right on the coast in Wales down where she's staying, and she says yesterday and the day she was there, it was sunshine. Like she was out in like the beach.
Yeah.
You know, so no sign of flooding or storms there.
Maybe it wasn't as bad as it was anticipated to be. Hopefully. Maybe, I actually haven't kept up since this happened. Yeah. Last night, it was in Belfast. Yeah. It was mad.
Oh, last weekend. It takes a good bit to wake me from my sleep. Okay. Mm. Especially if it's like, unless like you come into the room and you make a bit of noise. I would
like
the wind properly woke me out of my sleep.
That loud?
Like that bad.
Howling.
I was like, holy shit. I thought the roof was gonna lift in our house.
Yeah.
That bad.
That I don't even remember last week at this point because I just can't tell weekend from weekend.
Being woke from my sleep and I was like, come on.
What is this shit?
Come on, yeah, exactly, you know?
It last night was just absolutely insane. I know we get gusts that are like really high. We definitely got a gust last night that was like hurricane level. Like,
yeah.
I was stood there and I was just like moving back from this wind. Just madness. Like, the power of the wind, it's scary as well. It's like everyone's worried about coronavirus and stuff.
It's okay. These storms are just blowing the virus away, you know?
No one's going to come here whenever you can't land a fucking plane.
Did you ever hear? This is just a little bit off. But that, like all these viruses and things that kind of hit the earth, are like, are basically people in higher power, like finding a way to like level out the playing field again,
to kill the poor,
but perform like a Thanos almost on the earth.
Balance
basically.
Yeah, there's not enough food to go around.
Just tip it back into balance, you
know. I don't believe that.
No.
For the simple fact that, have you seen what happened to the stock market, I think on Thursday?
It crashed. It just the lowest
plummeted. Yeah, so that. If these people are wealthy, they're probably losing money.
But thinking is, if they just did it to the poor, surely people, you know, would be catching on. So maybe they have to do it to balance, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
It's like the reality of it is that poor countries and poor people are the ones who are going to get hit harder by these type of things because they can't afford good healthcare and they can't afford...
Well, that's very true as well.
Iran in particular has like one of the worst healthcare systems in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like people aren't surprised it hit there so hard because they just don't have the resources to contain it and to prevent it.
I also seen trending on Reddit today when I woke Taliban. I didn't go into it.
Yeah.
What are the Taliban up to?
It's mad. And all of this sort of like...
Yeah, they caught up in the whole corona.
Awfulness.
And, yeah.
Taliban in the US have found peace. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Maybe they're afraid of what coronavirus is going to do. Yeah, the 18-year Afghan war, I think it's called, between the United States and the Taliban, they've met rich terms.
So now Donald Trump becomes a peacetime president.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he's in power.
Yeah.
As they're
but
coming
I
to.
I don't think they're...
It wasn't up to him, obviously.
No, but I don't think... I think the US is at war with other places than just the Taliban.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay.
Is what I'm thinking.
Will he get credited for this? No?
Maybe, yeah.
Jesus.
It depends. Christ. They said they're not going to pull the troops out for like 18 months, so if depending on whether
they
who's
still have
in
troops
the White
out there, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. People are always still going overseas. You always hear that in American, the army, like, you know, all deployed overseas.
That's insane. Fighting. I also have a question to ask you later. Remind me to ask you.
I'll try, Chris. Chris, question. I'll write down here.
It's about war and about the Vietnam War and stuff. I just finished reading my book, by the way, this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of want to pick up on something. Maybe you know a bit about it. I haven't looked it up. But,
good.
More news this week.
I finally have got through the negativity.
Okay.
Of storms.
You
want to
help me with some positivity?
Yeah, some positivity. Are you a fan of the popular television show Friends?
Who isn't? Yeah.
Have you heard the big Friends news?
Are they reuniting or something?
They are. There is a Friends reunion finally at long last happening.
Oh, how do you feel about this?
I'm mixed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you why, though.
Yeah.
Because you know what this is. You know, let me read you the article.
Okay.
It's from The Verge.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the one where the gang gets back together.
Is it just one episode?
One episode, and it all reportedly cost $3 million for each main cast member. 3 million dollars. It's crazy. Jennifer Aniston, Lisa Kudrow, Courteney Cox, David Schwimmer, and Matt LeBlanc, and Matthew Perry, will all return for a one-off special that's set to debut along with the HBO Max streaming service in May. The cast will earn more than double their former per-episode fee for the reunion and be paid between $2.5 million and $3 million for the special, according to The Hollywood Reporter, based on anonymous sources. Now, this is where it kind of annoys me. They've described this show as a unscripted special. So it's a reunion, but not necessarily another episode of Friends.
So they could just be getting together, basically?
It could just be the actors.
Like, in like the set, yeah. And maybe answering questions and that kind of stuff?
That's what I think it is going to be, because that's what they described it as, an unscripted
maybe show special. Some reels of the old show, of the show, and maybe have them talk about it, things like that? Oh.
Pretty much.
Or unscripted, that they're just going to make something up?
Maybe.
Improv.
That would be a bit mad.
Bananas.
The improv special of Friends, 25 years after it ended. Or not 25 years. Is it 25 years? Yeah, it is 25 years, yeah.
After it ended?
Yeah.
No.
2005, yeah. 2004, 2005.
Yeah, that can't be 25 years. No, because we are.
15 years, 15 years, 15 years.
Jesus Christ, you scared
Sorry,
me.
Chris.
I was like, I watched that episode. Yeah.
So did I was there. I was there, man.
I'm a fan of Friends, yeah. It's like the easiest show to kind of just tune in and out of.
Yeah,
you know?
Just to have on in the background. Yeah. Big fan of myself. So kind of hoping that this does its service.
On the fence, yeah.
But, I mean... Okay. I don't think it's going to appease the fans who don't want it, you know, don't want the legacy of the show ruined, aren't going to be happy with this because they're going back.
Yeah.
And the fans who wanted another episode aren't going to be happy because it's not really achieving that either. So I think it's a cash in from HBO.
Oh, it's a complete cash cow, yeah.
100%. To try and capitalize on all. Because apparently this show has been watched by like in droves.
Still.
By the young, not by our generation, by like.
Younger generation. Yeah.
By like the teenagers of today. Watch the show and can relate to it. Like, so it's pretty, you know, it's obviously a sensation in that respect that has kept relevant.
Legacy has lasted, wow.
But yeah, the Friends reunion, is it long last happening?
Good, okay.
Good for those guys.
I have a piece of news, Dee, but my last piece of news is more going to delve into your Nick Cage news. So
okay.
I'm going to wait until you get to it then.
Okay. I only got one other piece of news.
Okay.
It's about Apple.
Oh.
Have you heard this?
No.
This is so funny. I'll get the article up here.
I had a dream.
That's you had so a dream weird. About Apple?
I just kind of had like a deja vu moment. I'm not too sure what. It's coming back to
have
me.
Have we had this? Have we sat at this table and done a podcast before?
Somebody offered me an Apple tablet or phone, I think. I can't remember who, but I was in work.
Fair play.
That's so weird.
Did you take it? In the dream?
I don't know.
Or in reality?
That's just that you said that.
Do you have
sparked that kind of. Thing on my mind.
Tech giant Apple is so strict about the use of their products that they won't let villains use the iPhone on screen.
I seen this headline and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, this is coming from Ryan Johnson, who directed that Knives Out movie. Basically he says that they let you use iPhones in their movies, but, and this is very pivotal, if you're ever watching a mystery movie, bad guys cannot have iPhones on camera. So if you're watching another sort of whodunit movie and one of the people is using an iPhone, that's not your bad guy.
Can't be associated with bad guys.
Yeah. Not insane, though. Like,
that's mad, the lengths that they would go to. What if it's like, bad guy becomes good guy?
Like, redeemed?
Yeah.
I suppose.
What's a movie like that?
Fucking Star Wars at the very end.
Oh yeah. What if he is an
iPhone? I don't know. That's strange. Like, there's other examples of this. Brand tracker Concave. Have you heard of those?
No.
No, neither have I. That is Concave named Apple, the top product placed products in television in 2018. Kiefer Sutherland drama 24 showed good guys using Macs and bad guys using Windows PCs back in 2002.
No way.
Big Little Lies was full of Apple products, as was political thriller House of Cards. But those weren't good guys in House of Cards. That's interesting. I wonder, is he using
That's
Android?
What I mean. Like, where do you draw the line on who's good and who's bad? I gotta get me a new stool.
Danny Boyle says he was forced to paint out Diet Coke labels from his Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire as the brand objected to a criminal gang holding them in a movie.
No way. That's Diet strange. Coke.
Diet Coke.
Not even Coke.
Regular Coke. That's cool. Diet Coke. No, no, no. Not Diet with Coke. The gang.
I would have expected, especially Slumdog Millionaire, them to be drinking Coke rather than Diet Coke.
Why?
I just picture like slums, you know. They can get Coke, but they can't get their hands on Diet Coke. You know, like, you know,
oh, Diet Coke is like for...
It's almost like...
For the elitists?
Well, I don't know. It's like...
You Coke elitists, Chris?
I don't know.
You're a Diet Coke fan, aren't you?
It used to be. No,
you used to be. You don't drink fizzy drinks anymore.
Oh, I'm partial to a can of Coke from time to
time. Oh, are you?
Yeah.
OG
Coke. Yeah, because I haven't had like aspartame or any kind of artificial sweeteners in like fucking months and months now.
Aspartame's so really good for you, though. Do you know that?
It's brilliant for you, yeah.
It's very good for your eyes.
Is it? Yeah.
No.
But
it's also not bad for you.
So Pepsi Max is a big no-no for me, and it was my favorite drink of all time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I have Pepsi Max cherry now.
Oh, nice.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
I don't buy into the aspartame is bad for you stuff.
I mean, there's not enough conclusive evidence for it.
I don't see any evidence.
I just like to stay away. I'm just trying to stay away from
just stay
sweeteners.
Natural, full stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had that Coca-Cola Life yet, though. I'd like to try that.
It's gone.
Never
they
mind.
They got rid of that.
Yeah.
It was using stevia leaf instead of sugar to sweeten it.
Okay, well, I would want to stay away from that too.
Why?
Because that's like a... Stevia is not a great sweetener.
But stevia is a plant.
Yeah, but there's something about it. It's the process in which it's heavily processed, basically,
where it's
sugar. And I think the Mexican Coke is probably the best.
Because
they use cane sugar.
Cane sugar.
Rather than corn syrup.
Yeah. Like, none of it's good.
No.
I think what we're finding out here is that none of it's fucking good for you. Water.
Water.
Carbonated water.
I don't fizzy like people water. Who drink carbonated water.
I enjoy a fizzy water.
No, you don't, do you?
When it's hot outside and you need something to really, like, you know, quench your thirst.
Water.
Water's good, right? But carbonated water gets that, it kind of like it tickles your throat all the way down.
Oh,
it really,
no, I can't have carbonated.
Feels like you get full coverage of your mouth.
Yeah, but then you're just left with like a big bloated belly.
I don't mind that. Seems drinking
do.
Coke, isn't it? Anyway, that's a massive segue, tangent that we've just drawn.
Sorry.
Finally, it was also revealed that Mercedes were happy for their cars to be driven in the same Slumdog Millionaire movie, but drew a line at them appearing in the slums, which I think is kind of a scummy thing from Mercedes.
What if they're chasing a guy in a car and he runs into the slums? Like, whoa, we can't go in.
Whoa,
there.
Get out.
Get out.
Get into that Ford.
We'll chase him on foot, but the road's empty.
It's like, yeah, I don't like that. It's like, oh, we don't want our Mercedes Benz to be related with slums. That's kind of a dick move, Mercedes.
I mean, they're driving their cars around like, Vietnam wouldn't be a poorer country, I guess. But this year,
they're definitely poorer regions.
Well, yeah, well, this year they're driving around Vietnam and the Formula One.
Is that right? That's it. See, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. That's product placement for you, though. Yeah. They want to have their brand represented in the correct light. I wonder, is there anything illegal about us, like, just taking, like, an iPhone and being like, we're terrorists, iPhone?
Yeah, making like a short video?
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
Probably not call ourselves terrorists.
Okay,
it's probably not good to do that.
No, it wouldn't be a good thing. No.
But, like, do something, you know.
Yeah.
Just get lots of negative publicity for the iPhone. Is it illegal for us to do that?
I mean, chances are, like, when all these hostage videos are being filmed in, like, a cave in Iraq, it's probably on an iPhone.
Oh, well, it'd be so funny. You know, like, whenever you, like, tweet from an iPhone, it says tweeted from iPhone. And it's just like, you know, like, give us $1,000 or we'll kill this person. And it's just like, tweet from iPhone.
From iPhone, yeah. They've got no comeback from that.
Recorded on iPhone.
Yeah.
That's quite funny, actually.
Yeah.
Not funny, obviously terrible. But anyway.
I get you.
Our final piece of news, which we both kind of, we're going to talk about, is our weekly Nick Cage update.
I'm so excited about this.
I know.
But
Nick Cage has been doing a lot of really cool films, like recently.
He's just putting his name to a lot of stuff now.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, I think he went through a period where he was just doing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And now he's just like going for all the weird, interesting like projects he can find.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a film where he stars as himself.
Yeah, where he has to
take down a Mexican cartel.
Yeah.
He's starring in a movie called The Color of Space, which is about like a meteor landing from outer space and like poisoning people's minds. It's a really trippy, kind of freaky film. Yeah. And now this, Chris.
Now this. This is Wally's Wonderland.
Wonderland.
Wonderland, yeah. Which is a film in which Nick Cage is trapped inside a hellish amusement park where the animatronics are coming to life. Seriously strongly derived from none other than Five Nights at Freddy's, that whole theme, where the janitor of a pizza, the night watchman or slash janitor of a pizza place, yeah, basically on the night shift,
yeah,
is attacked by animatronics who come to life.
After dark. So basically, it is that concept, except done in a... It's like a carnival, kind of like a theme park type place instead.
Director Kevin Lewis has said that, quote, "I see this movie as Pale Rider versus Killer Clowns from Outer Space." What's not to like with that? But he said there was only one man for the job in this.
Yeah.
And no animatronics have been shown, D. There's just a single still image, I think, of Nick Cage been shown where he's sporting like a beard.
Yeah.
You have the same image as me, where he's sporting a beard looking at like a door, standing at a door. He looks pretty cool. Like, I just think this could be awesome.
I think it just suits him too.
This could be a fucking awesome movie. I wonder what age they'll make it for. That's the big thing.
I'm hoping R-rated.
I'm hoping they go all out. At least 15s here, yeah. That would be excellent. I love Five Nights. I love everything about Five Nights. Just the whole lure and mystery. Not even lore, behind Five Nights. I read the books and all. Chris. And it's surprisingly believable. Yeah.
I'm just scrolling down to the bottom of the article here. Yeah. And just to talk about the films that Nick Cage has been taking up recently.
Yeah.
I just want to hear a quick sample.
Oh, please.
Nicolas Cage will star in the martial arts sci-fi action film Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
As a samurai ninja fucking... It looks like a post-apocalyptic...
A brilliant.
Samurai film.
That's all we need.
He's going to star... He's going to take... We'll take on a ship full of killer animals in a new film called Primal.
Brilliant.
That's another Nick Cage movie for you. Starring in Color Out of Space, we already talked about. Mm-hmm. We'll track down... Nicolas Cage will track down his kidnapped pig in a new film called Pig. Nicolas Cage will spend the night in Nightmarish Amusement Park, Wally's Wonderland. And he will play himself as Nick Cage in The Unbearable Weight.
He's got a lot coming up.
This is insane. I'm just scrolling down. It's just Nick Cage, Nick Cage, Nick Cage.
What are the chances that all these characters are going to be like more or less the same person?
It's going to be...
It's going to be Nick Cage.
Yeah, he always plays himself.
Nick Cage plays Nick Cage, yeah.
Which is always good brilliant to see.
Dude, that was some lovely news this week.
That was. Apart from the coronavirus.
Apart from that, yeah. But it's always...
keep it topical.
Yeah, and we finished on some Nick Cage, which is always good.
That's it. You had some uplifting...
Oh, the wholesome news I had was that a baboon on a way to a vasectomy actually escaped with two female companions in Sydney.
Oh my God.
So he escaped his vasectomy and ran rampage. Ran amok with in the hospital grounds in New South Wales. the lock had failed on a truck, the crate transporting the 15-year-old male and two female baboons just as they arrived at the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in Sydney Tuesday afternoon. The three baboons decided to take a bit of a look around the RPA grounds. They didn't know what to do, nor did the people around them. A video obtained shows the trio running alongside parked cars as stunned people looked on. That's really all there is to it. Yeah,
chimpanzee escaped his vasectomy.
The mischievous trio was not at the hospital for research purposes, but the male baboon could have a vasectomy to live out the rest of his life, quote, quietly and peacefully with the rest of his troop in the suburb of Wallasia. The Herald reported that. I'm assuming that's somewhere in
good for him
Australia. Yeah, that's nice news.
It's good for the chimps.
A couple of things I want to clear up, D, just before we jump into main topic this week. You asked me last week what the Parma in Parma Violet was.
Yep.
Well, I have here the definition of Parma Violet: a sweet violet widely cultivated for its pale lavender, sweet scented, fully double flowers. Or Parma Violet, a moderate violet that is bluer and lighter than a damson, bluer and paler than Roman purple, and paler and slightly redder than prelate. So it's all to do with the colour.
So Parma is the colour.
The
Parma
colour.
Violet.
There you go.
That's not a flower. The
nope.
Okay, perfect.
No. Nope. Right,
here we go.
And the Kyoto Protocol is an international treaty which extends the 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change that commits state parties to reduce greenhouse gas emissions based on the scientific census that global warming is occurring. And there's another part to that, but I'm not going to read on.
Kyoto Protocol came up in last week's episode.
That's exactly it. And you asked me to do a little homework experiment last week. Remember, I closed my eyes to see if I was aphantasia.
If you had aphantasia, yeah.
Sorry. Now, I don't have an experiment for you this week, but I do have this to kind of ask the question about. Have you ever heard of the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon?
Oh.
Or the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
This sounds so familiar. I probably have, but I can't recall
The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is when you notice something like a new word or a celebrity you've never heard of.
Yeah. Okay, I know where I know it from now as well. And Laura's probably going to kill me now because she studied this and she's told me about this. Yes, I know what this is.
And then you start noticing it everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
The first thing I thought of was GTA. You know whenever you like... In GTA, when you're playing and you come across like a really awesome, unique car, and then you start driving that car, and suddenly all the cars around you are that car. Yep. Well, that is a case of the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
You probably noticed it when you got your car.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I never really see these cars on their own. And then as soon as you had one yourself.
Now I started noticing it. Yeah. It's also called the frequency bias or illusion.
Yeah.
Is the seeming appearance of newly learned or paid attention to concept in unexpected places.
It's secondary information becoming primary information, so your mind pays more attention to it.
There we go. Yeah. That's a great way of putting it, yeah.
There actually left me years ago. Wow. Yeah. And whenever I told her about the Mandela effect that we were talking about, she was like, I told you about this before, and I'm like, no, you didn't. She's like, I did, fucking.
That's the Mandela effect right there.
Like, the Bader-Meinhof thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of the same, but it's kind of different.
That's awesome, that, yeah.
Because the difference between it and the Mandela effect is the Mandela effect is something that's not true.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Bader-Meinhof is you're noticing things that you never noticed before, but were always there.
Yeah.
Mandela effect is you're making things to be
there that were never there.
Because
everyone
else believes them.
We'll cover the Mandela effect soon enough, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be after episode 100, I know that, but...
101.
Stick around for that. Stick around for a note from our sponsors.
I wish.
Before we get into the main topic this week, Dee, to everybody listening, hello and welcome. If you made it this far, perhaps you're willing to go a little further. What's that in?
Satwantaneo.
Shawshank. Yeah, Shawshank, yeah. I was thinking Lost there. I don't know why. And give us a follow on YouTube. If you don't follow us, just search for the Empty Promise Podcast, where you'll find the video version of this podcast. And follow and listen to us on the go, wherever you may be, on any podcast hosting service.
All the best.
If you can give us a rating on any service that you listen to us on.
Thumbs up.
That would be fantastic.
5 stars or 3 stars or heck, even 1 star.
Otherwise, just thanks for following us and thanks for finding this podcast, and we hope it finds you well. If you've been drawn in by the name of this podcast, well, sit tight because I'm about to take you on the ride of
your life.
Time? Of your life. As we investigate the, what do they call it, Dee? The butcher of Plainfield. So before we get into this, Dee, do you know anything about this? No?
I do not.
When I mention the name, you might know the name, which is heavily influenced a lot of horror shows over the year, horror movies over the year. Basically, the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to get into a bit about the actual person, their growing up, their life, what they actually did later in life, and then I'll wrap it up. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, but enough to tantalize you.
That's good, yeah.
Okay, so the Butcher of Plainfield, also known as Ed Gein.
Ah, yep. I know what it is.
Do you know this person? Yeah. Happy days. Okay. Well, not happy days, but I'm still going to bring you the story. Okay.
Very, very sad days.
Yes.
Mr. Ed Gein.
Ed Gein. Let me see just before I get into this. Edward Theodore Gein was born in La Crosse County, Wisconsin, on the 27th of August, 1906. I meant to say to you, Dee, if you have any questions along the way, throw them out, and we'll kind of just clear it up as we go along, okay?
Sure.
He was the second of two boys of George Philip Gein and Augusta Winhamine Gein. Gein had an elder brother, Henry George Gein, also. Augusta, who was the mother, hated her husband, who was an alcoholic. He was unable to keep a job, and he had worked at various times as a carpenter, a tanner, and an insurance salesman. George owned a local grocery shop for a few years, but sold the business, and the family left the city to live in isolation on a 155-acre farm in the town of Plainfield, County, Wisconsin, which became the Gein family's permanent residence.
150 acres.
155 acres. That's fucking,
is that massive?
63 hectares. Yeah, that is.
I hate when people. Who decided hectares and acres?
I know. Yeah.
Oh, how much is 155 acres? Oh, it's about 65 hectares. Right. Very good.
How much is 63 hectares? Oh, it's about 155 acres. Oh, that is an enormous plot of land.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So nobody about them. So it's very isolated. Farm. Augusta took advantage of the farm's isolation by turning away outsiders who could have influenced her sons. She was very, very mothering,
protective.
Very protective of the two boys. Edward left the farm only to attend school. Outside of school, he spent most of his time doing chores on the farm. Augusta was a fervently religious woman and nominally Lutheran. So she came from the Lutheran background.
Yeah, yeah.
What is Lutheran? Just before do you know what Lutheran is?
I do not.
No, okay.
I think Martin Luther was the guy.
Yeah. Martin Luther King.
No. Way back in the 1600s in Germany, Martin Luther was the guy who basically created Protestantism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
He was
one of the largest branches. Protester.
Yeah. He was the guy who basically just protested against the Catholic Church and they formed the self of it. I think it's just one of the many branches of Protestantism.
Protestantism. Okay. Well, she preached to her boys about the innate immorality of the world, the evil of drinking, and her belief that all women, except for herself, were naturally promiscuous and instruments of the devil. She reserved time every afternoon to read to them from the Bible, usually selecting verses from the Old Testament concerning death, murder, and divine retribution. So a real kind of fucking...
You can already see.
Fanatic. You know where this is going. Yeah. You're like, yeah. The boys already kind of have this upbringing. You know, they live in an isolated farm. The father's an alcoholic, can't hold down a job. The mother is fucking this devout Protestant
she's got Old Testament
Testament,
you know what I mean,
proper devil, very literal. The Old Testament's a very literal kind of book as
and
well,
and it's vicious at times, and it's just about she's so protective as well.
Yeah,
you can see I'm already picturing all of the various movies in my head. You know, I'm thinking Resident Evil 7, I'm thinking all of that.
Proper old school. Edward was shy, and classmates and teachers... this is just the perfect, isn't it? Yeah. This is just the cliche.
They're already been in my mind. I'm already putting the jigsaw together.
Yeah.
All the pieces all make perfect
sense. Exactly. Edward was shy, and classmates and teachers remembered him as having strange mannerisms, such as seemingly random laughter, as if he were laughing at his own personal jokes. To make matters worse, his mother punished him whenever he tried to make friends. Despite his poor social development, he did fairly well at school, particularly at reading. So that's a little bit just about his upbringing. On April 1st, 1940, Ed's father, George, died of heart failure caused by his alcoholism. He was 66 years old. Henry and Ed began doing odd jobs around town to help cover their living expenses. Their brothers were generally considered reliable and honest by residents of the community. Both worked as handymen. Ed also frequently babysat for neighbours. He enjoyed babysitting, seeming to relate more easily to children than adults. Very childish, kind of sheltered upbringing has brought this on. That's the way I see it anyway.
Of sort of social
mannerisms,
socializing.
Sorry. Yeah. Henry, who's the other brother, began dating a divorced single mother of two and planned on moving in with her. Henry worried about his brother's attachment to their mother and often spoke ill of her around Ed, who responded with shock and hurt. On May 16th, 1944, Henry and Ed were burning away marsh vegetation on the property when the fire got out of control, drawing the attention of a local fire department. By the end of the day, the fire having been extinguished and the firefighters gone, Ed reported his brother missing. With lanterns and flashlights, a search party searched for Henry, whose dead body was found lying face down. Apparently, he had been dead for some time, and it appeared that his cause of death was heart failure, since he had not been burned or injured otherwise. It was later reported in Harold Schitzer's biography of Gein, called Deviant, that Henry had bruises on his head.
Oh my God.
The police dismissed the possibility of foul play, and the county coroner later officially listed asphyxiation as the cause of death. So from probably the smoke inhalation or whatever from the fire. The authorities accepted the accident theory, but no official investigation was conducted and an autopsy was not performed.
Mm.
Some suspected that Ed Gein killed his brother, questioning Gein about the death of Bernice Worden in 1957. State investigator Joe Wilimowski brought up questions about Henry's death. George W. Arndt, who studied the case, wrote that in retrospect, it was quite possible and likely that Henry's death was the Cain and Abel aspect of this case. Oh. So Cain and Abel is a story from the Old Testament and the book of Genesis. Cain and Abel are the two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain, the firstborn, was a farmer and his brother Abel was a shepherd. The brothers made special sacrifices to God, each of his own produce, but favored Abel's sacrifice instead of Cain's. Cain then murdered Abel. Gein and his mother were now alone. Okay.
Now I'm thinking of the movie Psycho.
Yeah. So you have this guy who's been brought up in this rough upbringing, not rough upbringing, but very sheltered upbringing, kind of been force-fed from his mother, from her views on Lutheranism. Is that? Yeah, Lutheranism.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get on with his father, who died, and now his brother's out of the picture, and now he and his mother are living alone on this 155-acre isolated farm in Wisconsin. Augusta had a paralyzing stroke shortly after Henry's death, and Gein devoted himself to taking care of her. Sometime in 1945, Gein later recounted that he and his mother visited a man named Smith, who lived nearby, to purchase straw. According to Gein, Augusta witnessed Smith beating a dog. A woman inside the Smith home came out and yelled at him to stop, but Smith beat the dog to death.
Fuck.
Augusta was extremely upset by the scene. However, what bothered her did not appear to be the brutality towards the dog, but rather the presence of the woman. Augusta told Ed that the woman was not married to Smith, and so she had no business being there, naming her Smith's harlot. So the fact that this dog was beaten to death didn't faze her. What she was worried about was this guy wasn't married and there was a woman in the house. Very, very old school.
Yeah.
Augusta angrily called her Smith's harlot, and she had a second stroke soon after, and her health deteriorated rapidly. She died on December 29th, 1945, at the age of 67.
Fuck.
Ed was devastated by her death. He had lost his one friend and one true love, and he was absolutely alone in the world. Gein held on to the farm and earned money from odd jobs. He boarded up rooms used by his mother, including the upstairs, the downstairs parlour, and the living room, leaving them untouched, while the rest of the house became increasingly squalid. These rooms remained pristine. Gein lived thereafter in a small room next to the kitchen. Around this time, he became interested in reading pulp magazines and adventure stories, particularly those involving cannibals or Nazi atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
This is already taking like a heart, like you can see where this is going. Yeah. Gein was a handyman and received a farm subsidy from the federal government starting in 1951. He occasionally worked for the local municipal road crew and crop threshing crews in the area. Sometime between 1946 and 1956, he sold an 80-acre parcel of land that his brother Henry had owned.
Hmm.
Okay, so before we get into like the kind of heinous side of this story, let's just recall what we've learned so far. Ed Gein, brought up by his mother,
sheltered
childhood, very kind of childish attitude. His mother dies, leaving him alone in this isolated farm. He boards up the house, basically all the house that his mother used, and he starts living alone in one room and the kitchen in the house.
Not mentally sort of healthy behavior.
Not mentally stable at all. No.
It just sounds like he never had a chance as a kid, the way his mother sort of coddled him. His dad basically wasn't there.
No.
And he was fed all of this rhetoric from the Bible.
Yeah.
And then obviously something snapped. I mean, it sounds like he killed his brother. Like, I mean, it sounds that's definitely what happened.
Yep. Yeah. No, knowing this story so far, absolutely.
So he's like desensitized to violence and death as well. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't bode well, Chris, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. on the morning of November 16th, 1957, Plainfield hardware store owner Bernice Worden disappeared. A Plainfield resident reported that the hardware's store truck had been driven out of the rear of the building at around 9:30 a.m. The hardware store was closed the entire day. Some area residents believe that this was because of the deer hunting season. Bernice Warden's son, Deputy Sheriff Frank Warden, entered the store around 5 p.m. to find that the store's cash register open and there were bloodstains on the floor. Frank Warden told investigators that Ed Gein had been in the store the evening before his mother's disappearance and that he would return the next morning for a gallon of antifreeze. A sealed slip for a gallon of antifreeze was the last receipt written by Warden on the morning she disappeared. On the evening of the same day, Gein was arrested at West Plainfield grocery store and the Washara County Sheriff's Department searched the Gein farm. A Washara County Sheriff's deputy discovered Warden's decapitated body in a shed on Gein's property, hung upside down by her legs, with a crossbar at her ankles and ropes at her wrists. The torso was dressed out like a deer. She had been shot with a .22 caliber rifle, and the mutilations were made after her death.
Fucking hell.
Searching the house, authorities found whole human bones and fragments, a waste basket made of human skin, human skin covering several chair seats, skulls on his bedposts, female skulls, some with the tops sawn off, bowls made from human skulls, a corset made from a female torso skinned from shoulder to waist, leggings made from human leg skin, masks made from the skin of female heads, Mary Hogan's face mask in a paper bag, Mary Hogan's skull in a box.
Fuck any hell.
Bernice Warden's entire head in a burlap sack, Bernice Warden's heart in a plastic bag in front of Gein's pot-bellied stove, 9 vulvas in a shoebox, a young girl's dress and the vulvas of 2 females judged to have been about 15 years old, a belt made from female human nipples, 4 noses, a pair of lips on a window shade drawstring, a lampshade made from the skin of a human face, and fingernails from female fingers.
Is the list over?
That's the list, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That is... That's the stuff of horror movies. That's just
inhumane.
It's beyond.
I can't even.
Yeah, yeah.
You just kept going.
No, just exactly.
Holy fuck.
These artifacts were photographed.
Artifacts.
Yeah, were photographed at the State Crime Laboratory and then destroyed. When questioned, Gein told investigators that between 1947 and 1952, he made as many as 40 nocturnal visits to 3 local graveyards to exhume recently buried bodies while he was in a dazed-like state.
Okay.
On about 30 of those visits, he said he came out of the state while in the cemetery, left the grave in good order, and returned home empty-handed. On the other occasions, he dug up the graves of the recently buried middle-aged women he thought resembled his mother, and took the bodies home where he tanned their skins to make his paraphernalia.
Holy shit. So he didn't actually kill...
He didn't kill the
majority of these people?
No, just the... Now, he's been done for the murder of the warden, the lady who owned the hardware store.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of these, he just decided to go to 3 cemeteries, dig up the bodies of these ladies who had been recently buried because, you know, the skin was still intact and their body's still intact.
Yeah.
Dig them up, bring them back to his home and make this paraphernalia, if you like. Gein admitted to stealing from 9 graves from local cemeteries and led investigators to their locations. Alan Wilimowski of the State Crime Laboratory participated in opening 3 test graves identified by Gein. The caskets were inside wooden boxes and the top boards ran crossways, not lengthways. The tops of the boxes were about 2 feet below the surface of sandy soil. Gein had robbed the graves soon after the funerals while the graves were not completed. The test graves were exhumed because authorities were uncertain as to whether the slight Gein was capable of single-handedly digging up a grave during a single evening. They were found as Gein described. 2 of the exhumed graves were found empty. 1 had a crowbar in place of the body. 1 casket was empty. 1 casket Gein had failed to open when he lost his pry bar, and most of the body was gone from the 3rd grave.
Fuck. Yet most Gein, most yeah. of the body.
Yet Gein had returned rings and some body parts, thus apparently corroborating Gein's confession. Soon after his mother's death, Gein began to create a woman suit so that, and I quote, he could become his mother to literally crawl into her skin. Gein denied having sex with the bodies he exhumed, explaining, "This smelled too bad." During state crime laboratory investigation, Gein also admitted to the shooting death of Mary Hogan, a tavern owner missing since 1954, whose head was found in his house, but he later denied memory of details of her death. A 16-year-old youth whose parents were friends of Gein, who attended ball games and movies with him, reported that Gein kept shrunken heads in his house, which Gein had described as relics from the Philippines sent by a cousin who had served in the islands during World War II. Upon investigation by the police, these were determined to be human facial skins carefully peeled from corpses and used by Gein as masks. Gein was also considered a suspect in several other unsolved cases in Wisconsin during the 1953 disappearance of Evelyn Hartley, a La Crosse babysitter.
So, apart from... what's her name?
Warden. This other lady, Hogan. What was her name? Mary Hogan, who was a tavern owner who had been missing since 1954. He admitted to shooting her as well. And her head was found then in Gein's house. He kept shrunken heads in his house. During questioning, Washura County Sheriff Art Shirley reportedly assaulted Gein by banging his head and face into a brick wall. As a result, Gein's initial confession was ruled inadmissible. Shirley died of heart failure at 43 in 1968, before Gein's trial. Many who knew Shirley said he was traumatized by the horror of Gein's crimes, and along with fear of having to testify, especially about assaulting Gein, caused his death. One of his friends said he was a victim of Ed Gein's as surely as if he had butchered him. We kind of had this pull, this kind of...
Well, like, I mean, you've seen these awful things that he's done. Like, yeah. Obviously, like, hard to see. Imagine finding all of that stuff.
I can't even...
And then just seeing the man who did it.
Like, can't even imagine what finding that shit would be like.
Fuck me, hey. And then you're going to get in trouble because you
fucking bash his head into a wall.
Not many people would blame you for that.
No. On November 21st, 1957, Gein was arraigned on one court of first-degree murder in Washura County Court, where he pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Gein was diagnosed with schizophrenia and found mentally incompetent and thus unfit for trial. He was sent to the Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, a maximum security facility in Waupun, Wisconsin, and later transferred to the Mendota State Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. In 1968, doctors determined Gein was mentally able to confer with counsel and participate in his defense, and the trial began on November 7th, 1968, lasted 1 week. A psychiatrist testified that Gein had told him that he did not know whether the killing of Bernice Warden was intentional or accidental. Gein had told him that while he examined a gun in Warden's store, the gun went off, killing Warden. He testified after that to trying to load a bullet into the rifle. It discharged. He said he had not aimed the rifle at Warden, and nor did he remember anything else about what happened that morning. At the request of the defense, Gein's trial was held without a jury, and with Judge Robert H. Gollimore presiding. Gein was found guilty by Gollimore on November 14th, a second trial date with Gein's sanity after testimony by doctors for the prosecution and defense. Gollimore ruled Gein not guilty by reason of insanity and ordered him to commit to Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane. Gein spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital.
Probably sounds about right.
Yeah.
Gein
was only trialed for one murder, that of Mrs. Warden. Also admitted to killing Mary Hogan.
So what all them bodies, like all that, that was grave robbing?
Grave robbery. Yeah. That literally went down as grave robbery. So he was tried for the murder of two people, which he basically confessed to, but was found not guilty through reason of insanity, as he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and instead sent to a mental hospital, maximum security.
like 10 years or so, he tried to go through the case again.
Try
and get his name clear. Yeah. Fucking hell. That is absolutely... Yeah. That is literally insane.
It's skin crawling.
By definition, that is insane.
Ed Gein's house on 195-acre property were appraised at $4,700, equivalent to $42,000 this year. His possessions were scheduled to be auctioned on March 30th, 1958. Pardon me. Amidst rumours that the house and the land it stood on might become a tourist attraction. Early on the morning of March 20, the house was destroyed by a fire. A deputy fire marshal reported that a rubbish fire had been set 75 feet from the house by a cleaning crew tasked with the disposal of trash. Arson was suspected, but the case of the fire was never officially determined. When Gein learned of the incident while in detention, he shrugged and said, just as well.
Yeah. That's mad, hey? I'd say it was burnt down. I'd say whoever was lighting that fire knew rightly.
Gein died at the Mendota Mental Health Institute due to respiratory failure secondary to lung cancer on July 26, 1984, at the age of 77. Over the years, souvenir seekers chipped pieces from his gravestone at the Plainfield Cemetery until the stone itself was stolen in 2000. It was later recovered in 2001 near Seattle and was placed in storage at the Washura County Sheriff's Department. The gravesite itself is now unmarked but not unknown. Gein is interred between his parents and brother in the cemetery.
Fucking hell.
That's insane. Mad. Insane. So,
I mean, this is probably no surprise. This is the inspiration for
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Was it Skin?
Leatherface.
Leatherface. That's what it is.
Sounds of the Lambs. Yeah. Buffalo Bill. The Devil's Rejects. The House of 1,000 Corpses. Psycho. Ed Gein and the Butcher of Plainfield, which I've seen actually, that movie. It came out in 2007. It's a good watch. Obviously, until I read up more about the actual case, it's insane. Like, this guy, it's
the Butcher of Plainfield.
Butcher of Plainfield.
Not for the heart, light of heart.
Not that he killed these people in like a butchering kind of way. The fact that he tucked these corpses back to his house and made all this paraphernalia with them, like skulls from made from like the tops of or bowls made from the tops of skulls, like a corset. Like, he's making a full human
skin suit
to crawl into.
My God,
to wear his mother. Not right there. And no. I mean, you could put it down to maybe his upbringing. I mean, you know, did his mother make him this way?
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
I mean, like, when you're hearing all that, like, it's got a massive... have I eaten all of them? Yeah.
No.
It's got a massive influence on him, like, the way his worldview, the way he thought, the way he was forcibly antisocial. Like, he wasn't allowed to socialize. He wasn't allowed to have friends. He was punished for having friends.
Yeah.
He was made to love his mother, you know, above all else. And that. So he was a grown man who had, like, the fixation of a child. And then when his mother died, obviously, like, just mind fractured. It's just insane.
And you can see the pictures, literally, if you Google Ed Gein.
I'm okay.
You will see the pictures of the house and the shit that was in it.
Oh, I could look at the house, but inside, let's leave it be. Do you know that footage, Chris?
Mm.
It's in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's at the start of it where they're walking down steps into a basement.
Yeah.
I know that's fake, but is that inspired by the discovery of this stuff?
Yeah, I would imagine so. It desperately has to be inspired by that. I mean,
I doubt they had video going in, but I'd say that's kind of like...
Man, yeah.
You walk into this house and you're like going out and then you find all this weird shit hanging around, hanging about.
Chainsaw Massacre used to be my favorite horror movie growing up. It was like the one I was like most terrified of just because of like the...
Now, where did the chainsaw come out of? Like, he obviously never used a chainsaw.
Just happened to be, I think, like a murder weapon. This horrific, like, imagine hearing a chainsaw rev up and knowing that this guy is chasing you throughout, Texas? Mad,
but, like, Ed Gein is inspiration for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, he's the inspiration for most horror movies nowadays that comes from
this gory...
All that cannibalism, gory, kind of skin-peeling, wearing, grave-robbing...
Resident Evil 7 as well stuck out in my head.
That's exactly what I was picturing, that kind of shit in the house. Yeah, that infatuation with a mother character.
Fuck me.
So really, really disturbing. But Ed Gein, the Butcher of...
Blaviken.
The Butcher of Blaviken.
The Butcher of Plainfield.
It's just a quick little...
Oof, that's some harrowing
American
stuff.
American murderer.
That's heavy listening.
It is heavy listening.
Well done to the viewers if you are, to the listeners if you have hung around.
I thought I'd keep it short and sweet with that one, but I knew him as such a big profile. It's nice to mention.
You need to do the story justice there. You gotta, and that list, even when you were just listing that off, I was just like,
that's a pretty big list.
I can believe it.
When I read it a couple of times, I kind of glanced over it, but it's only when you read it out loud that you realize
item by item.
Holy shit. But imagine being the authorities to find that shit.
I know.
How do you?
I'm not surprised that guy. Well, he died at the age of 40 just from the panic of it all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not surprised. I couldn't, like.
We're even just digging up another human body.
Yeah. I mean, their mind is not, like, it reminds me a lot of what, an actual Mindhunter.
Yeah.
They always talk about, like, some of these guys, like, they have these dazes where it's kind of like, they're just working on, like, adrenaline, like, they're just going and doing this thing.
And they don't even realize what they're doing.
And then when they're done, they kind of objectively look at, oh, I just did that.
That's insane.
It's mad, like.
But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that.
It's fun.
I mean, there you go. The more you know, I like educating people with stuff they don't know.
The Empty Promise Podcast is a family friendly.
Yeah.
Just
suitable for all ages.
It's universal. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the rating on the show.
I love that, though. I think that we're a good podcast for that we just bring something so random, but now people know of that story. Like, that's something that you could tell over, like, a couple of drinks in a pub to your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever hear about Ed Gein?
Ed Gein.
Now you know, and you can bring it back to us.
These are scary stories to tell at bedtime.
Yeah.
Or in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Or at a campfire.
Oh, don't do that.
People still camp?
I hope so.
I hope people are camping.
Yeah.
I hope people are camping listening
to this
podcast.
Empty Promise, go camping.
Yeah,
that'd be good. There you go.
We're going to go out. We're going out the back.
In the forest?
No, into the garden.
Oh, God.
Fuck the forest, Christ. Jesus Christ. What if it's starting to rain?
Let's wrap this podcast up with what we've got up to over the last 2 weeks, Dundee.
Okay.
You go ahead. Hit me up with some of the shit you get up to.
Already touched on it a bit. Decided to sit down and finally watch Chernobyl.
Okay. Tell me.
Tremendous television. Really, really just harrowing. Very similar to your description of Ed Gein and The Butcher of Plainfield. It's just like this story about this awful thing that happened. And it's horrifying. It's scary watching what happened. Obviously, it's the story about Chernobyl, which was a nuclear reactor in the Ukraine that suffered a catastrophic failure and it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it scattered nuclear materials all over the place, up into the air. But the real like horror of it all is that the people responsible on what happened were in complete denial. Like, complete.
Really?
Like, complete denial. Like, just astoundingly, just refuse to believe. They're like, the reactor has exploded. And they're like, impossible. It doesn't happen. It can't happen.
They just blatantly ignored that?
Just ignored it. People were like, we can see pieces of graphite, which is like,
what?
Graphite is the stuff that you put onto these control rods. You ever hear of control rods? They surround the control rods, and then they're like are dipped into the reaction to sort of temper it.
Yeah.
So it's stuff that is in like direct contact with nuclear material. And so there's graphite on the ground. Anyway, that is one element of it. The other element of it is, Chris, is that it's kind of like coronavirus. It's like there is this invisible killer, and people are like, firefighters come to put out this fire that's happened. And there's this invisible killer lying on the ground, which is
nuclear
material. And it's like, if you get too close to it, like, you know, your hand will, like, their skin burns from radiation. It's completely, there's no contact. It's just from being too close. And there's people who are like right beside the reactor and they're like opening doors to go get closer to it to check what happened. Oh, it's crazy.
Is it true that they tried to hide this from like Western news and all?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the big things in it is like...
They tried to cover this up.
They tried to cover it up. They said it was a small incident, nothing to worry about. And like, part of that was because of the people who, when it happened, they had these recording devices, like, you know, like Geiger meters.
Geiger counters, yeah.
They called something else, but they had those. And they were like reading of like 3 point something. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's not the worst in the world. Like, it's not good, but it's not... I think they say it's not good, not terrible, whatever. But that was the max reading on those things. Like, that's as far as they went.
Jesus.
Now they got the one. They got the good ones out.
Yeah.
It broke.
Jesus.
Because it was like too sensitive for. But it got discovered because people in Sweden could pick up on like the boost in radiation.
Yeah. Like the fallout ran like right to like the UK. Basically.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You know.
Is the show slow? Is it a show?
It's 5 episodes long.
Is it slow to get into? Like,
No. First episode is straight in.
In and down.
It's horrific, and it shows you like in graphic detail the consequences of radiation poisoning. Jesus.
I think Chernobyl would be a fantastic episode for us to do. The story behind Chernobyl.
Very interesting.
Reactor 4. Like.
The show does embellish a little bit. You know, there's numbers thrown about how many people died from Chernobyl, and the official number from the Soviets.
Reports.
Was like 40 people. People who were there. Yeah. People, you know, who got affected. The reality is thousands.
Thousands. Yeah.
But like the show even says like, oh, we don't know if it was 10,000 or was it 90,000 or 100,000. But like, you know, those numbers are kind of not really the case at all. Mm-hmm. It did have, it was a massive incident. And it's crazy just what happened and how they covered up. And it's really interesting as well how they solved it. Because, you know, obviously when they finally accepted this needs to be fixed.
They need to get it contained, yeah.
Yeah.
You can visit it nowadays. Like you can.
You can, yeah, you know. And yeah, in a way, it kind of paints different pictures about how serious it was. Because like at points, it's like, if you get too close to it, like, you know, you're shortening your life by about 20 years. Mm-hmm. But then towards the end of it, it's like they're kind of spending a lot of time around it.
Okay.
But whatever. It is just a really, really good case study of what happened.
Have you ever seen the movie Chernobyl Diaries?
No.
Watch it.
It's a horror film.
It's a horror film. And it's kind of like, it's a that kind of far-fetched kind of notion of, you know, mutation in Chernobyl. But it's not even mutation in a bad sense. It's just like that people have still been living there and it's kind of fucked up. It's a good show.
This is scarier.
Oh.
Because you're just like, that happened. Radiation can kill. It's completely invisible. Okay, it's scary, like.
You go to Chernobyl in Call of Duty and you crawl around.
50,000 people used to live here.
Nah, it's a ghost town.
Nah, it's a ghost town.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good film.
Good show.
Only five episodes. Yeah, you watch it in a night. We watched it over about 4 or 5 nights.
Okay, good.
Very good stuff.
I need something to watch. I'm okay. Yeah, no, going ahead. I'll catch up with you.
There wasn't really a whole pile else. We went to the beach again.
Did you?
In the midst of a storm. Now, we went last. You know, you woke up last weekend from the storm. Well, the day after that.
Oh,
was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like calm after
the storm. Yeah.
It was gorgeous. We went down, got more ice cream, went down to the beach.
Did you go to, hang on.
Oh, here we go.
Did you go to...
What's he got here? Did he keep...
One second, folks. I'm getting this. The cabin?
We did.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
Got more ice cream from there, went down to the beach.
In Donaday.
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 Yeah, I went down to the beach with the dog, let him off. Great time had by all.
Good.
Terrific times.
Good. Excellent.
And then, not a whole pile.
What did you have to eat this week? Anything nice?
I had the KFC Zero Chicken Burger.
Okay. How is that?
It's good.
Yeah?
It tastes nice. It's a nice tasting burger.
Is it in their batter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's always a winner. Like, that's the batter. Makes
it's the best part. Like, it's not, it hasn't got that same, like, chicky juiciness. Chicken juiciness, you don't really miss it all that much in the burger because it's got mayo, or I don't know if it's vegan mayo or if it's regular mayo or what it is, but it's got, like, you know, it's a juicy burger, and fair enough. And I took it out just to do a complete test. I tested it with an actual piece of a fillet chicken.
Okay.
And it was like, you can tell the difference, but you're not necessarily going, this is great and this is bad. You're going, they're both really tasty. I'd definitely recommend it.
Good.
Yeah, if you're into...
I might have to try that.
If you're into that. I don't know if it's vegan, though.
Is it not vegan?
I don't know. I think it could be one of those things where it's like, it's all vegan ingredients.
Something came out about one of them burgers, and I can't remember if it was the Whopper or the KFC burger that it was advertised as vegan, and it wasn't.
No, they never advertised it as vegan. They said it was meat-free.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They cook it on the same pan as meat.
Yeah, they cook it in the
same pan. So it's not,
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think this one actually is vegan. I think they described it as vegan, so it probably is fine. But it's a tasty burger, hey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
What else do we have? I haven't really been too crazy. Oh, got Pizza Hut again. Pizza Hut's tasty.
Pizza Hut, when you haven't had it in a while, is a great shout. Yeah.
Their pan pizza.
Oh, yeah.
It's so thick.
Thick, yeah. It's a big, thick boy. Yeah. Belfast just?
Yeah.
Is it still open in Victoria Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. It's not the one that delivered us, but yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I haven't had a Pizza Hut in a lot. Last Pizza Hut I had was in America.
There you go.
In Florida. It's a great Pizza Hut.
One that's near...
Yeah, just right, literally just across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I look forward to visiting it again.
Very good. Is that what you usually are going back to? To the Rosen?
Yeah, the Rosen. Yeah.
I was so crazy.
Right now.
I was just scrolling through Instagram and I was just like fucking about. And I just seen a person I don't know them. Like, just a random follower on Instagram. And they just posted something about... I don't even know what it was. But I seen the pool and I was like, that looks just like...
Wait
a second. And then I looked at the name and said Rosen Inn. I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we stayed.
Such a great picture. Like,
it's like
such
world.
Really nice.
But yeah, apart from all of that, Chris, I don't really think I've been up to much at all.
Let me see if I can jog your memory with anything. What did I get up to? I finished my book, Tunnels of Coochie. The question I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Why was Richard Nixon painted as such a kind of a criminal in the Vietnam War when he tried to pull the troops out?
Oh, I'm not actually sure. Yeah, because he came towards the end of the Vietnam War.
He came, yeah, and his first thing was to pull the troops out. So why was he painted as such a criminal? It was the guy beforehand who sent them all in. Was
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure, to be honest with you.
I thought you might have known.
I don't think he was like, in the book, do they talk about him being like portrayed negatively because of Vietnam?
No, they just said that he came up against some kind of backlash. But they don't go into the whole presidential side of things. They don't go into any of that, really.
Yeah.
They just mentioned it, and I just thought,
maybe I know there was a boost of numbers into Vietnam shortly before they pulled out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was. Yeah.
So it might have been that.
After the whole Tet Offensive and all that.
Why did you send so many more people in today just before pulling them out? Yeah. It might have been that. But I think Richard Nixon, his whole legacy is Watergate. It's just the fact that they tried to steal secrets from the Democrats.
Yeah, right, okay.
And he had to resign in disgrace.
Okay.
I think that's why.
That's the whole thing. Okay, I just wondered.
I don't know much about
presidency. I'm not really up to date. The book itself, though, has brought to me another fantastic human feat that I can't wait. I'm literally going to read you the chapter from the book as the fantastic human feat. He's known as the surgeon of Coochie, the surgeon who operated in the tunnels.
Like an actual medical surgeon
who operated with literally no tools, no anesthetic, no nothing, and saved like hundreds and hundreds of lives.
That's insane.
Like performed like brain surgery with a drill.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That kind of shit. So
Successfully.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Unbelievable. Like the Viet Cong were unbelievable when you read about it.
They were a machine. Like.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And they're the enemies. They're the bad guys. I know. All the movies and all. It's just like, they were just defending their fucking...
They're turf. Like, yeah. But yeah, I finished that book. I'm currently reading The Alchemist. Did you ever hear The Alchemist?
No. What is it?
It's it's a fable, but it's a fable. The front of the book says a fable about following your dreams, but it's like 10, 15 million copies sold worldwide. It's huge. My sister's read it a couple of times. I didn't actually know this. She had the copy sitting in there and I went and bought it. She was like, I could have gave it to you. But it's very good. It's just a nice short little story so far about a boy who wants to go and find treasure.
Meets this
guy in a town, this old man in the town who kind of tells him that he should be following. He's a shepherd and he tells him how he should be following. It's very good. There's a lot of life lessons you can take out of it.
Fables.
You know?
I think fables sometimes are better than advice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because you can hear someone tell you to do something a million times.
Fables and parables are my two favorites. Yeah.
But a fable, you're kind of like, because you put yourself in that story, you put yourself in that adventure, and then you're like, I could do that.
Such a nice little easy read. I hope to finish it now by tomorrow. And then
I'm having a dilemma
with books
with Tim Ferriss.
Oh right. Oh, did you read any of the books I gave you?
I'm about a third of the way through.
Which
the four hour.
What do you think of it?
There's parts of it that I really.
Do you find it preachy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I feel like Tim Ferriss trying to sell me his snake oil.
Yeah.
I feel like I could be
the
reading
Secret Sauce.
I feel like a parts I could be reading, The Secret, that book. Yes. I feel the parts I could be reading that. But other times I feel like I'm reading, that's very sensible.
That's very good advice, yeah.
You know the things where you just, let's do that challenge where you maintain eye contact with people and that challenge where you just say no to people all the time. I'm like, that's interesting, but that feels like a stunt. That feels like a...
You think?
I feel like if I went to a conference by Jordan Belfort, sell me this pen.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like what's happening there.
Yeah, okay.
The stuff I really enjoy is like... define your worst case scenario, write it down on a piece of paper.
I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah. I did that and I was like, to be fair, like...
It's not all that bad.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think I'd die.
Yeah,
if things went this badly. Yeah. I don't think it's the end of the world. And he's like, if that's the worst that can happen, why not try the thing you want to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
And he's like, and that...
He's inspirational that way.
Yeah. I've started to think about, maybe where do I want to be now at the end of this year? Maybe I don't want to be working where I'm working. Maybe I want to try something different.
Good.
So looking at that type of stuff. But the virtual assistant stuff, I just cannot get into.
That's where I tuned out.
Yeah.
Completely tuned out. I was like, I don't care about this because I don't want to hire a VA. Yeah. And
maybe at the time he was writing it, it made sense. I just do not get it.
No.
At all.
No,
I don't see the benefit.
Why would I want to hire a virtual assistant to for me, be like, okay, we have a podcast coming up on Ed Gein. Go and do my research for me. Do you know what I mean?
That's great and all.
That's great and all.
You'd have a lovely page of research. Probably, but you're probably going to pay
I don't know what the rates are. Was it like, it could be like £8 an hour.
£8 an hour. So they're probably gonna charge you about 3 hours for that.
3 hours, yeah. 24 quid. I could just get it myself.
Yeah.
And I enjoy knowing this.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Like, I enjoy the process of it.
I don't feel like I'm in a position where I need a VA. I don't ever plan to be that swamped But exactly. Who knows? At least I know how to go about
but
it.
This
now.
Is the thing then. And then I feel like when he tries to justify himself, you know, you may not think you need a VA, but you have to do it just to get used to the idea of doing it. And I'm like, ah,
his whole thing is about doing less, you know, doing as little as possible and living. This is where the whole new rich has come from. Yeah. Or new rich.
Yeah.
I know it's very
as a group. They all seem to be very conformist to
his way of thinking. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like his advice. I don't know if I like his, what is it,
his
philosophy.
His practices? Okay, yeah.
I don't know if I like his philosophy, but he has good advice within there. I think you're probably right. I realize I would really, when you give me the $2, you give me 4-hour work week and Tools of Titans. And I was like, I want to read 4-hour work week. I don't think I want to read Tools of the Titans. Mm. Now I'm completely switched because I feel Tools of the Titans isn't going to be kind of preaching, this is the way to live.
Tools of the Titans is literally a book about other people.
It's going to be practical
advice.
Have
said. Yeah,
and
it's
I think
all very good.
That's the part of Tim Ferriss's book so far that I've enjoyed is the practical advice. So I think you're probably right. I'm probably going to switch now.
Good.
I kind of want to finish it just to do it, but like it feels like it's like a, you know, live your life by this guide and you'll be rich type of book.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in that. You know?
No, I completely tuned out when it came to the VAs as well.
I don't need
to know this. But definitely have a read at some of the Tools of the Titans before next week so we can touch up on some of them.
We'll do, actually.
You will very much appreciate some of them. Thank you very much for my book this week, Dee, that is currently sitting on the table. I can't wait to get into this book, actually.
Chris, I thought this book would be useful because I was like, that could be useful for me. And I think and I actually think it's going to be super useful for you because... Aren't you taking? You're stepping back. At work.
Oh yeah,
so you're gonna have time.
Yeah,
yeah. You're gonna spend it.
Yeah, now I'm gonna know how to spend my
time.
I'll
be honest. I just seen it on Amazon when I was doing a Christmas shout, and I was like, "Fuck, that'd be a good book for Chris."
Thank you. I very much appreciate it.
Hopefully,
that.
It's not garbage.
No,
I don't think it will because it's like
it's one of the bestseller of Suffocate.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, what's
James, James
like
Wallman.
Speaking of books, I picked up those two Stephen Fry books yesterday in Tesco, 2 for £8, and I was like, I have to get that.
That's good value.
Is that Mythos book is supposed to be fantastic, and I listened to him on Graham Norton talk about his new book, which was Heroes, and I can't wait to get stuck into those little short stories, very similar to Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology.
Exactly, yeah.
And
all about ancient Greece.
Very much looking forward to that. I'm going to redo my bookshelf today as well, because we're desperately running out of space for books as well. So.
Terrific. That's good stuff.
But I've got up to very little this week. I had no data on my phone for like the last week and a half. So I had no Netflix, no nothing. I've just kind of just went back to like...
Old school.
Just reading and that kind of stuff.
Regular television.
My data renewed today, but I only have a couple of episodes left of the second season of Fargo.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably catch up with them as the month progresses, but I'm in no rush to watch anything. I want to go to the cinema. I'm thinking about seeing The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man?
Yeah.
What is it?
You know The Invisible Man? Like the fucking, you know the dude. Oh, have you seen, sorry, just speaking of The Invisible Man, have you watched Marriage Story yet?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't got around to it.
You should definitely watch it.
No, yeah, it's on
next
list.
Week. That's your
A Quiet Place is coming to Netflix next month or next week.
A Quiet Place 2?
No, A Quiet Place 1.
Okay. When is A Quiet Place 2 is out like next month or the month after.
Oh.
We have to go and see it for the podcast.
Okay.
Have you seen A Quiet Place?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to watch it next week when it's out on Netflix.
Okay. When it comes out next week on Netflix, tell me when you're going to watch it and I'll watch it here. And then we can do like a podcast on it even. Because it's a brilliant movie.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. I'm happy to do that.
And A Quiet Place 2, then we'll go to the cinema to see that. Oh yes, excellent! I look forward to that. Making plans.
What is The Invisible Man?
The Invisible Man is it kind of looks like Slenderman. Okay, I'm really confused about it as well.
Okay.
It's
is it a horror? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it's a horror anyway.
It's comedy.
Let me see. After staging his own suicide, a crazed scientist uses his power to become invisible to stalk and terrorize his ex-girlfriend. Fuck. When the police refuse to believe her story, she decides to take matters into her own hands and fight back. So, it sounds pretty. It got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes
for
opening weekend.
That's
so
a good reading.
I kind of want to see it, you know. But I just want to go to the cinema again.
Yeah, just that big screen experience.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we've talked about going to the cinema for so long and I haven't done it in about a year. I think Endgame was the last film I saw in the cinema.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Actually, it could have been... No, I seen Cats. I don't want to talk about Cats. I seen Jumanji too. It's fucking awesome.
There you go. That's a better...
Yeah, but I seen Cats.
That's a better...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not mention Cats. I don't think I have much else to add to this week. This is episode 96, which means... 97, 98. I want to talk to you a bit about the run into 100 after this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to look into some new equipment and possibly shooting some new big a big video maybe coming up, and then
going to launch 100 in a big way.
And then we're in talks about something, a different project altogether, and I'm just so excited about that. I'm super excited.
We could do an alternating pattern.
Yeah,
we could bi-weekly this podcast, and then we're not going to say what the project is.
Yeah, that could work. See how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Do you have anything else you want to add this week?
I would ask anyone who listens to us and listens to us regularly, maybe give us a bit of a shout out to your mates if you could, or if you were willing to do so. We're trying to get, we talked about a big goal we set for ourselves. It's probably a little bit optimistic, but we're trying to hit high. And it'd be good just to sort of give us a boost. Our ratings are okay. Like, they're kind of about what they've always been for the last year. So we want to start getting a little bit of a boost up there.
Yeah.
So if you listen to this and you enjoy this and you think...
Help
you
know us people, grow our community.
Exactly. If you know other people who enjoy podcasts and who might enjoy this, just give us a shout. If not, don't worry about it. That's cool. Yeah. Please come back next week and listen, because we're going to have another great one.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Whatever. No, next week we're free.
I think we're good next
Sunday.
Week.
Next Sunday, I'm completely free. So if you're
coming back
free,
with another big podcast next week.
Actually, I tell you what, I think the next like 3 or 4 Sundays, I'm completely free.
There you go.
That could be very good
for
us.
Coming to you on the regular, and we're talking about other things, videos, Chris mentioned, big videos.
Yeah.
Run up to 100, we're going to be planning something big for that as well. Mm-hmm. And generally, we're just going to be a little bit more active.
Yeah.
You'll be seeing and hearing more of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That is the biggest empty promise you'll hear all week.
That is the biggest empty promise.
No, desperately. Yeah. Do try to give us a shout out to any of your friends who are interested in listening to two Northern Irish guys.
Northern Irish.
Talk every week about the podcast. So. That's it.
Yeah. Well, we've got range though. We're not just, you know, we're Northern Irish and we're Irish as well. We're also from the UK.
Yeah.
And we're also from Europe.
Yes.
So if you know anyone from any of those places. Yeah, at the minute. You know anyone from any of those places, you know, we're relevant.
We're very relevant.
Yeah.
It's all relevant, please, James. I'll tell you what I did this week. I finalized my details for my Colorado trip coming up in July.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's a bitch of a place to get to. I found
Colorado.
Not Colorado.
Denver.
Getting to Denver is fine. Sorry? From Denver to Leadville is the big one.
Oh, right.
But I'm actually, I was supposed to be going to Reykjavik first up in Iceland and then fly down. Now I'm flying to Houston, Texas.
Nice.
Yeah.
Houston's meant to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm flying in there and then got to spend a bit of time there and fly on then to Denver.
Like a day or so? Or?
Yeah.
Nice.
Then fly on to Denver and then from Denver to Leadville.
And then from Leadville to Denver to Reykjavik to back.
No, sure, why not? Yeah. But that's what I did this week. Yeah, I knew there was something else. I know I'm forgetting something as well.
When is that? That's October.
No, that's July.
July.
11th of July.
Fuck, that was way later.
No, it's coming soon. I have a race now next month, and then July, and then August is the big one.
So that is the big one.
Can't wait.
No, wait, August is...
August is the 100 miler.
In Colorado?
No, in Connemara.
Oh, Connemara. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're doing
Colorado's
the 50.
Is the big one because I have to travel to Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. But it's 50.
It's 50.
And then you qualify for 100 the following year?
Hopefully.
What do you have to do for the 50, in the 50 to get qualified for 100?
So I need to finish either top... within one of the top in my age category, which I'm not sure, I don't know what the categories are yet, to get automatic qualification. If I don't get automatic qualification, I need to finish within the time parameters, the cutoff time, which I'm assuming is going to be about 10 to 12 hours, to get entered into a lotto.
Yeah.
And if I'm in the lotto, then I could earn a place.
Well, fair enough.
Which if I get, I'll defer to 2021. And if not, I'll just decide what I'm doing after that.
Get on.
I got word this previous week there that I may have a chance to run in the New York City Marathon in November for autism awareness.
That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah,
the New York City Marathon is like super competitive to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't get in.
Yeah,
so you can get in through charity, and it's actually my like area manager has asked. It's obviously close to her.
Yeah,
and she has said if she takes the place, and you know, would I be willing to run it, and we can fundraise together then to get the money
to
get in.
That's
like,
yeah,
absolutely. So I think I'm gonna finalize that this week, hopefully, and know by next week whether I'll be running in New York in November.
That's sick, Ed.
Yeah,
you're gonna be running all over the world.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it kind of takes you everywhere, which is awesome, and it's all paid for as well, so you don't have to worry about it.
That's fucking awesome.
You just get to go and run fucking New York City Marathon, which is class. So looking forward to find out about that this week. So big
That's
week
good.
Ahead. Yeah.
A lot of big things happening.
A lot of big
coming
things
up on the horizon.
Yep. Yep.
I might be getting a new conditioner, so.
Are you?
We'll see how that.
Good. I hope.
Yeah, we're not finalized. I don't want to commit to anything.
I hope to hear about that next week, though.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
I want to touch your hair next week. ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you very much for tuning in to what is episode 96. We will see you all next week, bright eyed and bushy tailed. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye bye.